Thanks, Bud. Glad you're here tonight. We welcome you, and we're glad that Micah can come. Micah asks, and he has every year, which I'm grateful that he does. He wants to bring a report to the church, kind of let the church know what's taken place this past year. And then I think he'll probably share some things about what he anticipates coming this next year. But we're glad he is part of our ministry, and that we as a church can support him in what he does with the Bible class in Gwinnett County. And at this time, we'll turn over to Micah to come and share what's on his heart. Welcome, Micah.
It's been a year, so just a quick reminder, since I've last been up here, new faces, some people might not know who I am, Micah Ballou. I work for Georgia Community Learning Center. We also call it the Bible class, because that's what all the students call it. And we are a nonprofit that exists just to bring Bible classes that are elective to public high school in Gwinnett. I do not still work at the church. I sometimes get comments that I think maybe people still think I might work at the church. I get a lot of questions about the donuts or about refilling the drinks on Sunday mornings. I like to be helpful, so that's fine. Keep asking, but just, you know, in case you're wondering, I don't work at the church anymore. But I like to be helpful, so that's fine. I won't complain. So quick reminder, our goal for our organization is really we just want students to fall more in love with Jesus. For some students, that's meeting him for the first time. We get to see that happen sometimes. It's amazing. For a lot of other students, it's kind of growing and slowly just kind of deepening that relationship that they may already have with Jesus, hopefully finding out some new things that they didn't know. This past year, we had a little under 100 students. This next year, looking into the future, we've added two new schools. We're going to be over 200 students for the year, which we are really, really excited about. This past year, I was teaching two classes, 7 in the morning, which for all of you who know me, I love the morning. Not really. I was teaching a class at 7 every morning at Peachtree Ridge, and they are on what is called block schedule, which means you get the students for over an hour, which they love. I don't even want to hear myself for over an hour. But you get that early in the morning, so you're waking them up and then teaching them the Bible, which is a lot of fun. But the good news about that is you get new students every semester. So I had 50 students this year in the mornings, at night. In the afternoons, I taught at North. Both of these are up in Suwannee, if you're not familiar with them. And I had 28 students. So this year, I taught about 75 students over the course of the year. It was a lot of fun. It's exhausting. But I definitely love it and looking forward to doing it again. We've added Collins Hill, if you're familiar with that, in Lawrenceville, as well as Archer, which is also in Lawrenceville. Those are new for next year, so we're excited about that, and just the continuing process of adding more schools each year as we're trying to take over all of Gwinnett County and spread out beyond that. Eventually, we would love to, but we're happy with the schools we have right now. I wanted to start out just thanking you as a church. You may not have realized it because time goes by so quickly. I hadn't realized it until I really thought about this. I've done this for 3 years now. I'm starting my fourth year of doing it, and it's just kind of time has flown by. It's quick. It's amazing. But you, as a church, have supported me for these past 3 years, and so thank you. That's amazing. It's been a huge benefit. Putting gas in my car, coffee in my cup, so I can actually be presentable for those morning classes and be coherent and say things that make sense, hopefully. All of those have been a result of you as a church giving. And that's been amazing, so thanks again. And with every year, I try to think of what a normal missionary presentation is and try to, you know, hopefully be like that, even though I'm a little bit different because, you know, I live down the street. I work around you guys, so I kind of feel like a strange missionary. So in the past, I did a slideshow because missionaries do slideshows. I don't have any new pictures. Sorry to disappoint you. You can walk out now if you want. I won't be offended because I'd be upset. I know if it was a missionary presentation with no pictures. But I know from when I was a kid, the one thing every missionary presentation always had was some kind of wild animal story. You know, you get to see a picture of like somebody slaughtering a goat, or you would get to see, you know, hear a story about when they were trying to get to church and there was a bull in the road, and, you know, you should be so grateful that you don't have bulls in the road on the way to church. I specifically remember that one from when I was a little kid. It's a great moral to the story. Be grateful that you don't have to run into bulls. So I do have a wild animal story. Tonight I basically want to share a lot of stories. Last time I spoke, I think I shared kind of one long story from a student. This time I don't really have one good long story, so I have a lot of little stories. But I'll start out with my one and only animal story from my 3 years in working with the Bible class. I was teaching at Peachtree Ridge this past semester. Students are still kind of waking up. I'm trying to wake them up. It's the morning. I have them start the day by reading one of the Proverbs, and then we discuss it. And one student had finished early, and I saw him just kind of, you know, put his Bible down. He's kind of looking around. He realizes he's one of the first ones done. So he's just kind of sitting there. And then I noticed him kind of start leaning and looking. I'm like, what is he looking at? And I'm kind of looking to my left, and I don't see anything. And he keeps leaning. And then his eyebrows go up, and I was like, something. And finally, he leaned over to somebody next to him. He was in the back row, so I couldn't quite hear him. But I saw that he started to whisper, and I was about to say something. And as soon as he whispered, the entire back row heard it. And about five girls jumped onto their chairs screaming. And then I was able to tell that it was a mouse in the classroom. So from there, after those girls, then it was, you know, everybody kind of popping up out of their seats and up onto their chairs. And I finally had to calm them down and convince them that they probably just gave the mouse a heart attack. It was nothing to worry about. You know, the mouse is probably really, really scared because I could barely hear at this point. So there's nothing to worry about. It wasn't going to come out. So I finally calmed them down, talked to people in the church. They got it all taken care of. It was all good. So not quite as interesting as a bull in the street, but still wild animal in the classroom. I guess that's about, the stories will get better, I promise. So I wanted to start out with a wild animal story because it's a missionary presentation. So I'm doing what I can. One of my favorite things that I get to do every day in the classroom, I end every class by taking prayer requests. And it ends up being an opportunity to just really get to know students better, as well as show them that I care about their personal lives. I'm interested in what's going on with their family, what's going on with their friends. And not only am I interested, God cares as well. Throughout the course of the year, you get to see some really interesting things. I had a lot of students whose dads lost their jobs and then found some other ones, which is good. I had two twins in my class whose father had a stroke. And just praying through that as he's going through rehab, recovery, all kinds of things, ends up also being an interesting thing for you. You have some students who never have a prayer request, are kind of disengaged from the whole idea of praying, really. And they get to see some other people's prayer requests answered, which ends up being interesting for everybody involved. A lot of students with big family problems, just not getting along with parents. I had one student who is still, this is ongoing, came up to me after class, didn't really want everybody to know, had been having a lot of migraines, was really concerned, was having tests done. They were thinking it could possibly be a tumor, it could be cancer. And this went on for most of last semester and is still kind of ongoing. They haven't quite figured it out. They've narrowed it down to not being a tumor, not being cancer. They still don't know what it is, and she's still having a lot of trouble and on lots of medication. And so for some of these students, they don't really tell a lot of people some things, but they'll come and talk to you because you've kind of showed an interest in their lives, which is an amazing opportunity that I think probably a lot of other teachers, I think if I was a math teacher at the public school, I wouldn't have the opportunity to find these things out about students that you end up finding out. So it ends up being a really awesome opportunity to get to know the students better. And you also end up with some really good teachable moments. I had one student who came in one day, very disappointed because he had lost his expensive phone and he needed a new phone because, you know, once you have a cell phone, you're addicted to it. And he had a phone, but it was really old and it didn't have all the features of his new one, so it would work, but he really needed a new phone and he didn't have the money. So he asked me to pray for it. I was like, you know, it's not really a need, but sure, I'll pray. You know, like we pray for stuff we want sometimes. That's cool. Sure, we'll pray for it. So we prayed. And the next day he came in and Corey was so excited. He's grinning ear to ear. He's like, I can't wait till we do the prayer request because I got an awesome answer to mine. And I was like, well, we'll do it at the beginning of class then because you're excited. We want to hear it. Maybe it'll wake some people up because it's early. So I gave Corey a chance and he was so excited. He was talking, you know, kind of reminding everybody how he had lost his phone. And then telling a story of he was working at the gas station where he has a job, and he was out emptying trash cans, and he heard a noise, and he was kind of looking around trying to figure out where this music was coming from. And another guy who was pumping gas was also kind of looking around, and he bent down and realized there was a phone that was kind of underneath the trash can. And so the guy who had been pumping gas picked it up and handed it to Corey, you know, assuming you work here, you should, you know, be able to take care of the phone. So Corey looked at it, realized it was a really nice phone. This was better than the one he had before. And it was actually ringing. And so he opened it, hung it up, pulled the thing apart, took the battery out, put his SIM card in, and threw the old SIM card away. And so he tells this story in front of the whole class and is so happy because God answered his prayer. He got a new phone. And this is one of those where you're like, I just did not get enough sleep last night. What am I going to do here? And he's so excited that God answered his prayer. He got a new phone. That's like, Corey, you got to understand, like, you just stole that phone. That's not how God answers prayers. He doesn't work that way. That you stole that phone. No, God provided it. No, you stole it. He goes, no, somebody left it there. I was like, no, they clearly lost it. Like, you lost your phone, and you stole it. And he's like, no, I don't think so. So we kind of went back and forth, and the rest of the class chimed in and informed him that he was stupid. And I kind of toned them down a little bit, and I was like, we'll talk again after class. So he got up in the middle of class. He had to go to the bathroom, so I let him go. And while he was gone, he had left his phone somewhere, somewhere around his seat. And when he came back, one of the other students had put it somewhere. So he came and sat back down, just kind of looking around and fidgeting. I was like, Corey, what's going on? I think somebody stole my phone. And I just kind of paused. I was like, this is just too perfect. Okay, now I know exactly what to do here. So I was like, wait, somebody stole your phone? Yeah, I was like, maybe they thought you just left it there and didn't want it anymore. No, I want it. I was like, well, they probably just didn't know that. And so we had a really fun time with Corey that day. He still really didn't get the point of what I was trying to get across at the end of the day. But it was hopefully something that maybe down the road, next time he goes to steal a phone, he'll think about, hopefully. It's the prayer requests end up being pretty interesting some days. Another new thing I started doing this year is sitting in on lunches. Most Mondays I went with my friend Andy, who does Young Life, and we started just sitting in at lunches at Peachtree Ridge, because that's kind of the school I'm most involved with. And it's an opportunity to get to know students better. I actually have a lot of students signed up for this coming year who signed up because I got to know them in lunch, and they got to know me in lunch and decided, that would be a fun class. Sure, why not? You know, we like hanging out with Micah. So that ended up being interesting, very interesting. What they do is you aren't allowed to just really go and talk to whoever you want. They let us set up a table off to the side, luckily near a vending machine, so we get a little bit of traffic. But you're just allowed to sit there, and you can't call people over, but if they come up to you, you can talk to them. So you kind of start with some kids that you know coming up and wanting to have lunch with you. Then you just randomly get students who come up and say things like, why are you here? Who are you? Why, you know, like, why are you old people here at lunch? What are you doing? It's like, oh, thanks. You know, that's great. So we had this one kid named Josh. Josh came up, and every time Josh came up, especially the first time, he kind of knew that we were some sort of Christian, you know, youth pastor or something. He wasn't really sure. So he thought apparently it would be fun to just come up and say things that would shock us. So I can't repeat literally any of what he said here. But he would just come up and say disgusting, perverted, horrible things. And Andy and I would, you know, change the subject, and we wouldn't really yell at him because we're not really there to be able to yell at him. We're there to try and make friends with people. So we would be nice and casual and change the subject and, you know, ask him how his weekend was, and he'd tell us something horrible he'd done over the weekend. And we really would just try to not be shocked, since that was his goal. We didn't want him to, you know, kind of shock us, since that's what he was out for. But we eventually kind of became friends with him, got to know him to where, you know, not everything he said was trying to shock us. Still definitely kept that up some. And finally, he came in one day, and he was like, hey, you teach that Bible class? I was like, yeah, we've actually talked about that before. You know this. But sure, yeah, I teach the Bible class. And he was like, that's cool. Somebody was telling me about that, and they were telling me I should take it. And I found out it was one of my current students. And I was like, great, thanks. You know, this is going to be a fun year next year. But he was like, can I get into that? And I was like, yeah. And I walked him through kind of how to register for the class and everything. And he's like, that's really cool. He goes, I just want to let you know, if you let me get into the class, I promise not to say anything dirty. And I was like, well, A, I don't believe you. But B, like, thank you. That's nice. And this kid who I really felt like if I had kind of, you know, told him not to say some of the stuff he was saying the first time I'd met him, probably would have ignored us, probably would have not wanted to hear anything. Now I'd kind of built up enough respect with him that he really felt kind of embarrassed when he realized, oh, that's the guy that teaches the Bible class. You know, like, I feel kind of stupid now. And it's just kind of nice to have these opportunities to really have a little bit more time to build a relationship with somebody, get to know them. So this coming year, I'm really looking forward to having students in my class who I know, they know me. I know a little bit more of where they're coming from and what to expect. Ends up being pretty interesting. And one of the things I've really had to work on this past year with some of the students I've had is just the idea of not expecting lost people to act like they're saved. I know for most of us, we've kind of grown up in the church, And when people don't act the way we're used to people acting, it is a little bit shocking. It's a little bit annoying. It just really bothers you sometimes. And for me, I just really feel like with a lot of the students I'm working with, when I'm a teacher, it's a little bit different than when I'm just kind of casually getting to know them at lunch. But at the same time, you can't expect people who don't know Jesus and have experienced that to act like that. I know for me, obviously, Jesus has had a huge impact on my life. In addition to having an impact on my life, my parents have had, you know, a huge impact on my life. Theirs was impacted by Jesus. That goes on to my grandparents. And so for me, you know, I would not walk around saying the things that some of my students would say. But it's not because I'm better than them. It's not because I'm a great person. It's not because I have a whole lot of self-control. It's because God has impacted my life. And so that was something for me that I really had to think through with some of these students. You know, this is where they're coming from. And instead of just kind of yelling at them and scaring them away, I need to get to know them. I need to get past some of this. So for me, that's kind of a growing experience, interesting thing. In addition to students who are sometimes bad, I also have some really amazing Christian kids in my class. I had one student who I actually have gotten to know his youth pastors at his church. He became kind of one of the students that would talk to me after class regularly and has expressed a lot of interest in going to Moody because he found out how cheap it was from me, which if you know me, you know I like things that are cheap, as well as, you know, getting a great education. So he was asking me a lot about going to Bible college. He's really interested in missions trips. He was going on a couple this summer. So we get, you know, to encourage kids who are really headed the right direction. As well as these kids are probably a bigger impact on their peers than I can be on my students. So our class ends up being a big outreach as well as a great discipleship tool, which has really been fun to kind of know students, know their youth pastors, and really know a little bit more from their church, where these kids are coming from, where they're headed, what their background is. Ends up being a really awesome opportunity. One story, just a lot of different stories from students. I shared this one in one of my updates, so I'll be kind of brief. But I had my students write a paper on what they thought would happen to them when they died. Just kind of out of curiosity, one of our other teachers had done it. Turned out to be a really good paper, a lot of interesting answers, some crazy answers. And so I just thought it would be kind of interesting, you know, what do they think? You know, and this is, you know, I told them it's not, you know, I'm not grading you on like whether you have the right answer. Don't tell me what you think I want to hear. Just honestly, what do you think will happen to you if you die, like soon? And so a lot of interesting answers, a lot of really honest papers. One student flat out told me, you know, like, I've understood what you're talking about this semester. I get it. I've kind of grown up going to church some. And based on the way I'm living my life right now, I think if I die, I would go to hell. I'm pretty sure. And I don't really feel like changing anything. I don't really feel like doing anything about that. And so for me, it's, you know, shocking. Having grown up in church, you're just not used to that kind of honesty. I feel like that's probably true for a lot of my students, but very few of them would actually come out and say it. So for me, it was just kind of a rough thing. You know, I was actually sitting in Starbucks reading this paper, and I'm like, what am I supposed to say to this kid tomorrow? You know, like, am I, and part of me feels like maybe if I was a better teacher, it wouldn't be going this way, as though, you know, I could control the destiny of his soul by how good of a teacher I am. So you feel a little bit like maybe you're failing. And so for me, a lot of times when I get into these questions where I'm like, I have no idea what to do here, look to the Bible, try and see, you know, was there anything ever similar that happened? For me, I started to think of the story of the rich young ruler, who's a man who comes to Jesus, finds out what Jesus has to say, and decides, that's not what I want. I have other things that are more important to me. Jesus said, you need to sell all you have. And for this guy, his money was more important to him than Jesus. For my student, basically kind of living a life of partying, he knew that that was something that he really wasn't supposed to be doing. And for him, that was more important to him than Jesus. He cared more about that right then than he did about Jesus. It's sad to hear that, obviously. At the same time, I feel like this student might be a little bit further along in his spiritual walk than some of my other students. I have a lot of students that were, I would say, probably worse off than him as far as the life that they're living, but they think they're fine. With this student, I was at least happy to see that he knew he had a problem. This is not something that was going to go away. I'm hoping this paper is something that he spent a lot of time thinking about after it was over, but it's just kind of interesting to be able to walk into a student's thought process and kind of see where they're at spiritually and what they really think about God and get some really honest answers. It's been a very interesting thing to see this year. Another student, Josh, was a kid who I had him in my morning class. He spent a lot of time just kind of staring blankly at the wall next to me. It was early in the morning. I was always kind of having to make sure he was still awake and engaged with what I was talking about. And going through the Old Testament this year, it's a lot of stuff that kids haven't heard before. It's a lot of things that they're not familiar with. It's some really big concepts and big ideas in the Old Testament, especially we were going through the sacrificial system. And Josh was kind of staring at the wall and thinking, oh, I really, you know, should probably get his attention back, walk over there. But before I had a chance to do that, he raised his hand. Josh, yeah, you know, I was thinking he probably was going to tell me he had to go to the bathroom. He's like, I think I get it. I was like, get what? And his whole point, he said, basically, you know, all of this sacrificing points forward to what Jesus is going to do, right? It's like, yes, that's awesome, cool. He's actually gotten something out of this, okay. And he's like, and that's why we don't sacrifice stuff anymore. It's because Jesus did it for us, so we wouldn't have to. And I was like, you probably just explained that to everybody else better than I did all semester. And so it's just amazing to see these kids who, this was a student who at the beginning of the semester said, why should we listen to what the Bible says? When I kind of presented the Bible as an authority on a matter, he's like, why should we listen to what that says? And then, you know, a few months later, he's, you know, kind of getting the point of one of the big ideas in the Old Testament. I love that. Doesn't happen every day, but some days, you know, you have those days where you just feel like you're an awesome teacher. Somebody got something that you've been trying to explain over and over and over, and it's just really, really encouraging. So one of the things I spend a lot of time dealing with is I have a lot of students that ask questions about basically different issues of morality, and I had one student who, in kind of a semester-long discussion slash argument with him, I eventually had to get to the point where I told him, look, you say you're a Christian. That's awesome. I'm glad you think you're a Christian. But here's the problem. I was like, you are more excited about telling people why drugs should be legalized than you are about telling people who Jesus is. He was very, very passionate about the idea of legalization of drugs. His dad did drugs. His grandpa did drugs. He didn't see why it was a big deal. He'd grown up with it, totally used to it. And, you know, for me, as well as the rest of the class, we thought this was ridiculous. Even some of the other kids who I'm pretty sure do drugs still thought it was ridiculous. They're like, you know, don't even try and explain this away and say that it's right. We all know it's wrong. This ended up being a discussion that we had kind of before and after class throughout the entire semester. Didn't change his mind. Didn't really do a whole lot. Would show him in the Bible, you know, like, well, A, it's against the law. B, you know, the Bible says you should be in control of yourself. Actually, the Holy Spirit should be in control of you. You're doing drugs. You're not really in control of yourself. And the Spirit definitely isn't in control of you. You know, over and over and over kind of going through these things. Did not convince him. You know, I would say I won the argument, but I didn't convince him. He just did not agree. It was something he had grown up with. You know, his grandpa did it. It's kind of hard to disagree with something someone's grandpa does for somebody. It's, you know, they've grown up with it. They're used to it. And one of the things for me is, you know, I would love to change his mind on this issue. I have other students that, you know, they feel totally fine with sleeping around. No big deal to them. Everybody's doing it. And I would love to change their mind on that issue. There's a lot of issues like that of morality that come up in class and that we talk about and we discuss. But my main goal, while I would love to change their mind on a lot of moral issues, I really want them to see who God is. That's the goal of our class. Again, the morality issues are great. They're in the Bible, so obviously they get covered, they get talked about. But my main thing is I really, you know, I could get this kid to stop doing drugs, but that doesn't make him a Christian. That would change his life some, but it doesn't change his life as much as if he gets to know Jesus. And so one of the themes for this year was I had read a book over the summer called The Prodigal God, and it was a telling of the story of the prodigal son. A whole book on it, very, very interesting. I spent a lot of time going over it with my students. And in this book, I learned something I had never thought of before. The definition of the word prodigal. For me growing up, I always thought that was, you know, oh, it's somebody who's bad. You know, the prodigal. He went out and did dumb stuff. He's bad. The actual definition is spending freely and recklessly or wastefully extravagant. So the idea in this book was, you know, the story of the prodigal son is really about the prodigal God who spends his grace recklessly. He goes out and loves people who really don't deserve it. You know, the son comes back and the father is glad to see him. And so with my students, I went through this story a lot. And you can go through the story and talk about the younger son and how he squandered his money. He went out and partied. He went out and did whatever he wanted. And it ended really sad for him. It ended badly. It did not work out well. That life did not fulfill. And so while I spend time talking to my students about how some of the lifestyles they're living will not fulfill them, it might bring some temporary joy and pleasure, but it won't last. And then I move on to the rest of the story, the older son. I have some other students who have grown up in the church, and they'll kind of look at some of the other students in my class and think, well, I'm glad I'm better than them. They're horrible. I saw the pictures on Facebook of what they did over spring break. I know I'm definitely better than them, so I'm probably doing okay. They're pretty bad. And I have some of the older brothers in my class. And so you can look at them and you can say, these are people who are being kind of pharisaical. They're looking down on other people. They're really keeping people from getting to know Christ by being so difficult and hard on them. And you have this older brother in the story who doesn't get from God what he thinks he's deserved. He's been good, so he thinks he's earned God's favor, God's pleasure. He should kind of be rewarded for it. And these are really great morals to learn from the story. All through the Bible, there's awesome morals you can learn from all the stories. But really, in my class, one of the things I try to focus on, we'll look at the morals, but I want them to see who God is. And just briefly, when you look at this story, you see a God who is so excited when this son returns. He doesn't come out to him with a list of demands. He doesn't come at him and, slap him around, make him feel even worse than he already feels. He is glad that he's there. He runs out. He's prodigal. He throws gold rings on him. He gives him brand new clothes. He goes out and kills a calf. Goes way overboard to show how excited he was for this son. And one of the things I really want my students to see when I cover a story like this is who God is. He's a God who you can't earn favor. You can't be good enough to make God love you. I have some students that have kind of grown up in some backgrounds where they feel like they need to be good enough to make God happy. And again, that doesn't work. Trying to be the older son and be good enough that God owes you, that doesn't work. You have these other students who they kind of feel like they can just go out and do whatever they want and come back and, oops, sorry, God, it's all good now, right? And so we went through, this son, when he comes back, do you think he ever left again? Do you think he ever asked for his inheritance again? No, his life has been changed by the grace of his father. And so for my students, there's a lot of great morality issues to talk about and discuss. But when it comes down to it, in our classes, we want people to see who God is. And we want them to have a relationship with him. Great opportunities there. So that's kind of what is going on in our classes. That's what we're doing, teaching the Bible, basically going straight through it in 2 years for students who are able to take it for that long. Great opportunities for them to grow and learn. Lastly, and just real quick, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but again, we are support-based, and you guys have been great at helping me out with that. One thing I just wanted to ask is if everybody here who, maybe you're not really praying for a missionary, or maybe you just think, wow, this is really exciting. This sounds awesome. I like the thought of this. Please pray for me. Pray for our teachers, pray for our organization, pray for the fundraising, especially all those things need help, obviously. And I really feel like if I get enough people praying, I won't have to worry about the money. God will take care of it. God will deal with it. If you are excited and you are praying and you do find yourself thinking, oh, maybe I should give money to this, that's great. That's awesome. There's also a lot of other really great missionaries at our church who also need money. All of them there. I know it's a tough economy. I know how that works. It goes for nonprofits as well as everybody else. So anything is greatly appreciated. I understand how that goes. Also, just kind of looking ahead to this year for your calendar, for anybody who's a golfer, on October 28th, we have a golf tournament coming up. If anybody is interested, I know I've kind of spread some word about that in the past. But way in advance, October 28th, golf tournament and dinner. Also, I have new prayer cards for those of you who have the one. The last one I did was 3 years ago, so I figured I would update that. I was going to say put it on your refrigerator, but I know I never really am thinking about praying when I'm headed to the refrigerator. I'm normally a little bit distracted with something else. So put it wherever would help you to remember to pray for me. If you'd like to do that, that would be awesome. So I have some new prayer cards that are up front if you want to come get those. And also there's a blank sheet of paper. I send out a mostly monthly email update. And so I love sending those out. I have a lot of fun writing them. Hopefully people have a lot of fun reading them. I normally try to keep it short because I know I went to a Bible college. I have lots of friends that send me updates. And when you open it and see that it's six pages, I normally don't. Why start? I'll never finish. So I try to keep it short. If you have not been getting those, you can just put your email address on that page, and I will make sure you start getting them. Because sometimes people's email addresses change, or maybe I got them all off the church website. Who knows? I'm sure it's never wrong. We never make any typos or anything here. I know that from when I worked here. But again, I just want to thank you guys for supporting this ministry. Obviously, as the director of the organization, I think it's an amazing ministry. This year, I'm going to be spending my mornings teaching, my afternoons. I'm not going to be teaching as much. I'm going to be visiting our classes. We have a lot of new teachers. And so our board really wants me to focus on making sure the new teachers know what they're doing, understand it, are doing a good job, and are going to be enjoying it enough that they're going to stick around. And so that's, if you want to pray for this year, you can pray for our new teachers, you can pray for our students, and really just pray that God continues to bless our organization. It's one of those things where, I don't know if you listen to the news, there's actually been some lawsuits around in other parts of the U.S. With what we are doing. So far, nothing has stopped it. Nothing has changed it. But teaching the Bible to public school students is one of those things that, you know, we all know it could possibly end at some point in the future. So again, something to pray for is just that we could continue to do this. It's an amazing ministry. It's a lot of seed planting, but also you get to see some really great changes in the lives of students. So if you want to join me in prayer for that, that would be amazing. I'm going to ask Bill to come. And I believe he's going to close in prayer. But again, thanks for a great 3 years of support and of listening to me give an update every year on how everything's going. Also, I know in the past we've done a Q&A. If anybody has any questions, I'll be up front afterwards. I would love to answer questions. Sometimes people want really specific questions that everybody else would be bored with listening to. So if you have questions, I'm available. I can talk a whole lot more. Especially, I got used to teaching this block schedule class. I can go for more than an hour. So, any questions I'd love to answer, I'll turn it over to Bill.
Hard to believe that he can go for an hour. I missed in the office there 3 years ago. I can't believe it's been 3 years. You hear that laugh coming from the other office. You actually be in Building D. You hear that laugh coming from Building A. But we do appreciate, you know, you never think years ago that there would be a need such as this in Gwinnett County. That's years ago. And, you know, even now, the need is great. Great in presenting the gospel. What has come about as far as people moving in the area, and not just moving in, it's just human nature. You know, men becoming evil, more evil, and the need of having a light. And a light in a county system. Which there are great people teaching in that system, great teachers teaching in that system, people who know and love the Lord, and we're thankful for that light. But Mike gets to come and have more freedoms than what they would be able to have by having this Bible class. He is the director of it, so it's not just teaching. That is a primary responsibility he has, but finding teachers and making sure all the classes are covered. And as you mentioned, coming this next year, he'll be visiting those classes and kind of monitoring what's going on. The school becomes the accountability factor here, and that's where our involvement comes in, other than the church and the families and people here supporting him. So we're thankful for his ministry. We're thankful for his willingness to go. And as Pastor has said before, it's like a perfect fit, it seems like, for him, as a glove to a hand and ministering to these kids. And we're thankful for his ministry. Do remember the prayer cards are new. We have a more mature-looking Micah on the prayer card. And also, if you do have one, get his email. The emails are great. I enjoy receiving them. And they are pretty much monthly. I mean, I know you've probably gotten behind a week or two. But there are monthly emails and prayer letters. We post them also on the website as well as we have them out there with all our missionary prayer letters that come in. So we're thankful for his opportunity of being here. If you do have some questions you want to ask them, feel free to come up and ask them at the conclusion. We'll stand at this time and close in prayer, and you're dismissed after the prayer. Thank you, Micah, for being with us tonight and presenting this. Father, we thank you for this ministry. We thank you for the fact that it is an opportunity to present the gospel. And we thank you for the opportunity that Micah has in getting to know these kids, their parents, some of them, and introducing your word to them. And Father, some of them will only see your word through Micah in the year to come. And we pray for each student that he will have and the other teachers will have in the coming year. We know there are many more. We're thankful for that. And we trust they'll come and that the word of God will not return void. We know that. And as it's taught, we trust the Holy Spirit will have liberty to work on these kids. Thank you for the willingness of Micah, the others who are involved in this ministry. We ask your blessing upon them, your watch care over them, your provision for them as they continue in the year to come. Dismiss us now with your blessing as we go to our separate homes and bring us back safely come Wednesday, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.